Kadaatia's artworks have been widely exhibited with solo shows, for example, at Kunsthaus Zurich or Beirut Art Center, and participations in large-scale periodic exhibitions such as Documenta, Venice Biennial, or Manifesta in Palermo. In 2016, he founded La Colonie in Paris, a social space where people met for debates and exchanges around notions and practices of decolonization. The decolonization of peoples, knowledges, institutions, and infrastructures. Kader is currently based in Berlin, and he was just announced as the curator of the 12th Berlin Biennial, which I think is wonderful news, fantastic decision, and definitely a biennial to look forward to. Your film, The Objects Interlacing, from 2020, constitutes a very impressive polyphonic debate on the function of objects and the role and their role in processes of subjectivation of the individual, as well as in building collective identities. In the film, you talk to lawyers, to psychoanalysts, art historians, to museum directors in Dakar, and to the authors of the prominent report on the restitution of African cultural heritage, Benedict Savoie and Felvin Saar. They're all talking about the status and the basic role of the object in people's lives and in memories, on the epistemic function of the object, specifically the plundered object that has been taken away from past or lost civilizations, as well as from people's everyday experiences. One central concern is the epistemology of the object, which has been created by a distant Western view on the object, for example, by anthropologists, art historians, or museum curators. Could you elaborate a bit on your view on the epistemology of the object and what a decolonizing epistemology could encompass when it comes to processes dealing with objects?
Thank you, Nina, for these questions. First, as you said, it's very important to remember that I've been working on the repair since almost 20 years now. I didn't discover this object in books or in museum of ethnography. I really discovered them in their site, you know. I think that what is extremely important is to understand that what Felwin and Benedict call the debate for restitution. I mean, I remember Felwin always insists on this. He says, it's not the restitution, it's the debate on restitution. Mm-hmm. It has, these objects have to help us to federate us around the conversation, mm-hmm. and make that this conversation evolve with the evolution of the society. So my wish would be, rather than focusing on the so-called repair that the West is now proposing to the colonized countries of yesterday, or the colonized country that the Western world has occupied yesterday, to give them back, to bring them back the object as a sign of reparation, which I think it's not a reparation. I would rather imagine opening, creating an in-between space that would be probably academic, which means that inventing a new organology of the academic epistemology that would create a multitude of conversation on restitutions, because restitution is much more complex than only Africa, North, etc. You have Jews objects that have been spoiled by during the Nazi time. You have German objects that are in the Leningrad in Saint Petersburg. So for me, the need is to take this opportunity to create a new organology in the academia that will allow students from Africa, from Ivory Coast, from Senegal, from countries that have not their own heritage, their own legacy, cultural legacy to work on, because I met people like this, like in Ivory Coast, Professor Ada Kwasi, the anthropologist. He's running each year a group of 15 PhD students. But the students are working on books of artifacts from Africa from the 60s, from the 70s. the lake. So for me, this is the what would be my wish, how this can help us to create, to force the systems that we are living in to elaborate the space in the academia for institution.
I think this notion you're describing of an in-between space is very helpful in thinking or conceptualizing possible processes of repair. In your film, Felvin Saar is presenting a very concrete way of restituting. So his idea would be to restitute, to bring back objects to museums in respective countries in Africa, but from there they migrate. They migrate into communities, they migrate into villages, and they are used in different contexts. And I found that as a kind of, as a technical idea of how to think the physical existence and the mobile existence of objects quite helpful. And another layer of restitution I was very interested in that was presented by Ava Diouf, the director of the Women's Museum in Dakar. And she mentions in her film a feminist perspective of restitution. And she said that because with people's conversion to Christianity and Islam, the decision-making powers of women and their also their possibility to have their own possessions have been lost. So returning objects stemming from times before Christianization and Islamization could also offer a possibility for women to reappropriate those values relating to their power and strength. So I wonder, is this kind of this feminist layer or this feminist perspective, this is very rarely heard of. So I found it really interesting to add this to the conversation. So how do you think, like in technical or practical terms, one could work with a feminist perspective?
I think here also it's part of what I call the elaboration of a conversation on the restitution. I've always found quite frustrating the missing part of the feminist voices in terms of restitution, because if you look at most of the objects, and Awa confirmed this to me, I mean, the majority of divinities that are represented in sculptures are feminine divinities. This is very important, you know. And actually, through my researches, I discovered with anthropologist, again, like Sylvie Memel-Kwasi, and who is the director of the Musée des Civilisations in Abidjan, and her colleague Ada Kwasi, the anthropologist, that these very, very heavy, short legs and big legs of feminine figure was actually a sign of power, because it means that the woman who has these very strong legs can stand and can stand as a man. You see, the problem of the debate on restitution, as I told you, Nina, for me, is definitely a neo-colonial conversation that is reproducing all the sort of authoritarian discourse that already existed during colonial time. I mean, it's a male patriarchal discourse of care, you know, we bring you back the object, what Macron said in Ouagadougou in his discourse. I'm very skeptical on the simplicity of this form of repair. I mean, we are talking about lives that have been deported. We are talking about lands that have been extracted from which all the values have been extracted, and also the bodies, energy that have been extracted. When Felwin is saying that, indeed, you're right when you said that, he's saying that if we bring back object into museum, then museum will deal with communities, with local communities who can hire the mask. In Ivory Coast, in Senegal, I met indeed, I've been in touch with deals like this between the museum institution and village communities. But this is like really, I mean, rare. I mean, many of these objects belongs to communities that have lost their language and culture to activate them. So it doesn't mean that these objects can stay in the West and they do not belong to this culture. This is their history, you know. Mm-hmm. What I'm telling you is that for me, the feminist conversation, to answer your question, is part of this evolution of the conversation on restitution. You see, so that it's not a conversation that will stay stable. And then, like Benedict said, it was very hard to speak about restitution at the end of the 70s. And then suddenly we don't know how it dissipates. Mm-hmm. So I think our work for people like us also is to maintain relevant deconstructions of this conversation, to reconstruct it constantly. Mm-hmm.
Right. What could be the agency of repair in that context? So repair is an important concept in your work, which you understand as a way to deal with injuries, living with scars, to function again, but without forgetting the past injuries. So I would have two questions relating to that. Could you elaborate a little bit on the ideas behind your concept of repair, as well as its, say, operational capabilities or agency, or the agency of repair in a context of individual as well as of collective liberation? And how would you describe the use of the concept of repair in curatorial practice and in instituting? Could it be a concept for future museum practice as well?
I mean, the repair is a very, very, polysemous concept. I've been working on it the last 20 years, and I started to observe broken objects and injured bodies. And from these sort of polarization of injuries, I'm still working on where this agency is like spreading in so many different fields of researchers. If we go to, for instance, a museum, I would say that I would not say that museum are repairing, but I would definitely think that museum are tools to care.
And in that sense, providing care would also interfere with the neoliberal value system. And I mean, the correlation of the rise of colonialism and capitalism is very well known. And do you think that the concept of repair could also be a suitable approach to rewrite the neoliberal value system of art, and above all, of a wider societal perspective?
I would agree. On the one hand, I thank you for the question. I think it's an interesting one. But at the same time, I would say that it's before and beyond capitalism. I think repair is an agency. I think we are moved by repair. The repair is the reverse. The repair is the recycling process of energy to something else, and keeping the trace of this temporality. Also, what is important to understand for me is that in capitalism, you have an ephemeral and temporal consciousness of profit. Mm-hmm. Rather than in repair, the care of the time in all as an eternal series of loop of injuries, repair, mm-hmm. is what defined the agency of repair. And that's why I'm still working on it, because you find it everywhere.
I would finally like to talk a little bit about La Colonie. Mm-hmm. I experienced La Colonie, the space you founded in Paris in 2016, and that was closed down in 2020 due to the economic situation caused by the pandemic. Experienced it as a very progressive space in terms of reflecting what the role of a cultural space in society could be today. Although it's not necessary to define La Colonie as an institution, I think it could offer a model for rethinking the role of a cultural institution in post-colonial migrant societies. Also, since it was generating its own income with a well-frequented bar as an integral part of the space, the dependency on any public or private funding and the expectations of the funders has been reduced to zero. After the closure, La Colonie is now continuing as a mobile nomadic project, currently pitching its tents at BAC in Utrecht, and La Dynamo de Banlieue Bleue in Paris. Could you talk a little bit about what for you the function of a small scale cultural space in contrast to a museum could be in society today, and what you want to achieve with La Colonie?
I mean, I think talking about it answers again to your previous question on whether a museum can be a place for repair. I think I'm again, of course, the more I work on repair, the more I think that most of the time what we claim to be repaired is irreparable. But the fact that we do maintain the conversation on the reason for repair, so dispossession, I mean, the injuries, could they be physical or psychological or political? We care about these repair things. And I think La Colonie, for me, has been the place where, because of its dimension, I would say technically, we were faster than institutions. Because as you know, when you are in an institution and you want to organize a debate on media, for instance, ethic of the media, for instance, this is very much linked to the time we are living in today. You face a whole bureaucracy and protocol that makes one very simple event to organize complex. And then it takes you years, almost, sometimes more, to organize just a one-day symposium. With La Colonie, I have discovered that when you want to do something, you can do it. You can do it very quickly. And this is like the great aspect of having a small space. Mm-hmm. Then ethically, I would say there's also another aspect that answered to the previous question. I really think that the majority of repair processes are, I mean, Sisyphus processes, you know, they remind us this myth of Sisyphus, you who carries the rock that fell down.
Right.
You remember that. But at the same time, I think that it's better than nothing, because at least La Colonie and all these small spaces, they are creating a pause. Remember what I told you about the artworks?
Yeah.
A pause in this sort of speed of so-called, institutional cultural industry, you know? Because the relation, it's not the same when you are not in a big institution. And I think what I found interesting with La Colonie is the freedom of speech that we have, that we've been able to really liberate the worlds, mm-hmm. Leaving people's taking the mic and participating to the debates, having a lot of locals coming to sit and listen and engage, but really coming physically in a space to gather with others from different fields, academic, activists, theorists, on a topics, on a much needed conversation. And this is probably what I would call a possible therapy of this computational governance in which we are living today. Mm-hmm. Because people are, I mean, Nina, we are becoming a virtual society.
Yes.
I mean, you and I today are walking through this screen. I mean, people are online constantly. Mm-hmm. And the pandemic has enhanced this. So La Colonie for me was already before the pandemic a space to take care of the common ground by being together in the same space. Even if we were 15 or 600, there was this individuation, to quote Gilbert Simondon, process where every individual stay in the it's a psychic individual, but they were composing a collective individual at this very same time.
How would you assess the current debate on decolonizing museums, which has like different facets, which is again, as you already mentioned, again, very Eurocentric, but also opening up possibilities, options, self-criticism to a certain extent. How would you assess this debate?
I mean, the debate on decolonizing the museum is, for me, it's part of this evolution of the decolonial conversation I was telling you before. I think if I look back 20 years ago, even the word decolonial was not used. And it was present in the American continent, but not in Europe. Mm-hmm. It arrived in France in 2008, in a demonstration called the March for Dignity. The first slogans, I mean, using decolonial popped up. And since then, in Germany, in France, in Belgium, in Spain, many other countries, of course, the UK, but particularly, I would say, Germany, France, Belgium, the decolonial conversation has been first, has emerged first, beginning after 2010. And then it has also, when we did open La Colonie in 2016, it has known its sort of blooming moment where we were quite not celebrated, but it was very easy to be decolonial and to everyone. I mean, it was very attracting. But actually, today, particularly in France, a case I know very well, I mean, it's the reverse. I mean, decolonial thinkers are almost criminalized. And this, for me, is something that I was expecting. I mean, I always knew that the radicalization of decolonial discourse, particularly when it has a political project, will not be accepted by the establishment. And that's why you have a lot of academic in France, for instance, who are signing against the decolonial thinking and against decolonial thinkers, claiming that they are, I would say, separatist or I mean, all kind of horror, like even, oh no, they are very close to anti-Semitism, etc. The thing is that, and this is what Paola Bacchetta told me, the academic from Berkeley, which I think it's very interesting, because she lived in France, she knows the context. She said, you know, the most of the time movement, she's a feminist scholar, and she said even with feminism, when a movement become institutionalized, mm-hmm. it lose its strength because it become a field of support of scholars. To be able to maintain it strong and relevant, you need to work, and you need to constantly, what I was saying before, dismantle dismantle mounting and dismantling and mounting it from inside, reinventing the discourse of it. Mm-hmm. And I would say that everything that comes from the street, like the decolonial thinking in Europe, scares the academic, because particularly when it has a political discourse. So when the decolonial discourse coming basically from the street has become institutionalized under the name of decolonizing the museum, because this is what is happening today, mm-hmm. I'm actually wondering whether this is not I mean, sort of recycling process of what should be an activist movement. Mm-hmm. I think decolonizing the museum for me was extremely interesting when they were acting in openings, for instance, you know, really occupying the space, occupying the attention of an opening by intervening into the event, you know, but and it has to stay like this. I think decolonizing the museum and most of the movement have to keep one foot in the street. They have to keep one foot in action. I think the very 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 fragile aspect of a movement that is burning is to become institutionalized. And we need to find a way to be. And La Colonie was like, was caring, like the project La Colonie was caring of this, was there. I've always been been caring about the fact that in our symposium and debate, we need to juxtapose activists and theorists, because otherwise you do reproduce the university in an alternative space. And this is, and I got from the audience, I remember when I had the Algerian psychoanalyst Karima Lazali presenting her book, Colonial Trauma, mm-hmm. with Daniel Rivière, an historian, and another woman. I forgot her name, but Danielle was great. The other woman, maybe I forgot her name because it was very academic, a talk. And a woman in the audience stood up and said, hey, this is not the university. It's La Colonie. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's very important to understand that the energy, the frontality, as we said, I'm not saying the radicality because I don't like this terminology in French particularly, means a sort of return to the roots, you know.
I would say really like the
experience, you know, mm-hmm. because activists have the experience of action. They are demonstrating. They are when they are supporting refugees. They are going where the refugees are. They are beaten by the police. I mean, they have a relation with another realm than theorists from the academia have. I'm not saying that they are not needed. I think it's another dimension of mm-hmm. reflection. But what would be great? This is my dream, and that's why I also created La Colonie, and I'm still running it. How we can bridge both form of thinking, because activism is also another form of thinking.